Moving into item number 10, it's periodic status review, sea otter briefing public hearing. And Hannah, before I start, I was at the Marine Mammal Commission meeting the other day. A friend of mine is the Marine Mammal Director for the Native community in Alaska, Mike Miller. I don't know if you know him. He's a great guy. But he lives in Sitka. And I was at a lot of the sea otter briefings at the Marine Mammal Commission meeting. But I knew this before because I've been with him and he's been participating in it up in Sitka. They've taken out about 2,000 in the greater Sitka area. And now the abalone are really coming back. Yeah. And you can go on low tides up there and pick them up. So he brought me 30 abalone down as a present. So I said, next time I'm coming up to Sitka, but the thought of going along picking up abalone, but that's just one of the byproducts of sea otters. That can't say how they took them all out. That might be disturbing to some, but there are a lot less of them now. Still a lot up there.
Yes.
Still a lot. Okay, that was my sea otter story of the day.
Dennis, each one is on the next three agenda
items. Good
morning,
Commission. Chair Smith, Vice Chair Carpenter, Director Storr. I am Hannah Anderson. I am the Listing and Recovery Section Manager in the Diversity Division, and we're here to talk to you today about our state endangered species, or threatened species, listed species. We have three on the agenda today. We're starting with sea otter, then I believe we talk pygmy rabbit, and then we'll talk Columbian sharp-tailed grouse. With me today is wildlife biologist Chris Sato. She is the species lead for sea otter in our division, and she's the author of the periodic status review and prepared a presentation to brief you. And so I'll just turn it over to her.
Thank you. Today I'll be presenting the sea otter. Historically, Washington sea otters were distributed in estuarine and sand... Closer? Okay. I have a good voice, so I was married to...
I'm dead.
Historically, Washington sea otters were distributed in estuarine and sandy habitats from the mouth of the Columbia River to Point Grenville, along the rocky outer Olympic Peninsula coast and into the Strait of Juan de Fuca. They currently occur between Nia Bay to the north and Point Grenville to the south. There have been occasional scattered sightings as far south as Grays Harbor, in the Strait of Juan de Fuca, and throughout the Salish Sea. Sea otters are nearshore marine mammals that rarely come on land, except in remote areas or when sick or injured. Sea otters are often solitary, but they regularly rest and socialize in large rafts, which can consist of several animals to a few hundred animals. During surveys in 2016 and 2017, a large raft containing over 600 individuals has been spotted near Destruction Island. Otters are often found in rocky habitats with giant kelp and may be found near islands more than 2 kilometers offshore. But they can also be found in lower densities in areas with soft sediment, as in going south. Breeding can occur at any time of year, but in Washington, most pups are born in late winter to early spring. Females give birth to one pup about every 2 years. Sea otters eat a wide variety of marine invertebrates, but favorites include sea urchins and clams. Some sea otters don't need much space, but others like to roam. They can travel up to 400 kilometers. When population density reaches a certain point, otters will disperse permanently. They also move seasonally to follow prey. Due to commercial harvesting in the 18th and 19th centuries, the world population fell as low as 1,000 to 2,000 by the early 20th century. It has since rebounded to about 126,000 otters. Sea otters were reintroduced to Washington waters in 1969 and 1970. The current population is descended from between 10 and 40 individuals that survived reintroduction. Washington's population has risen steadily over the last 30 years at a growth rate of nearly 10%, reaching over 2,000 individuals in 2017. Washington sea otter population can be distinguished as two groups, a northern segment and a southern segment. Since the early 2000s, the southern segment has grown steadily in size and in 2017 comprised nearly 80% of the Washington population. The northern segment may have reached carrying capacity. Potential exists for range expansion to both north and south. However, southern expansion may be restricted by human activities. All sea otter populations in the United States are protected under the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act, which, among other things, prevents their harassment, capture, killing, or importation. The Washington sea otter population is not protected under the Federal Endangered Species Act. Sea otters were state-listed as endangered in 1981 due to their small population size, limited distribution, and threats. Oil spills pose a risk to sea otters throughout their global range, as demonstrated during the Exxon Valdez spill in Alaska. Washington experienced 7 significant oil spills between 1964 and 1991. It's unknown whether any of these affected the Washington sea otter population. The risk of spills in sea otter habitat is expected to increase by a factor of 4 in the next several decades as tanker traffic from ports in BC and possibly Washington increases due to expanded oil and natural gas production. Many factors can affect the severity of impacts on sea otters, including time of year, location, volume and type of oil spilled, weather conditions, current patterns, the logistics of response efforts, and sea otter distribution at the time. Sea otters can be killed or injured in fisheries when entangled in gill nets, traps, or crab pots. As the otter population grows, fishery interactions may increase. For example, range expansion east along the Strait of Juan de Fuca would bring animals into contact with invertebrate fisheries such as sea urchin and geoducks. As sea otters expand south, they will encounter the Dungeness crab fishery with a greater risk of take in crab pots. Sea otters are also subject to a variety of parasites, diseases, and toxins. The historical overharvest of sea otters during the fur trade caused a loss of genetic variation in modern populations, although Washington sea otters have a relatively high genetic diversity given their original low numbers. Sensitivity to climate change may include changes in prey abundance and increased winter storm intensity, resulting in high surf conditions that could cause higher mortality. Known natural predators of sea otters include killer whales, bald eagles, coyotes, and brown bears. In Washington, predation is not considered common enough to impact the growth of sea otter populations. The 2004 WDFW Recovery Plan outlines a variety of strategies. WDFW and its partners have conducted annual surveys of Washington's sea otter population since 1989. Our agency and its partners also conduct studies on mortality, contaminants and disease, diet, movements, causes of mortality, genetic diversity, and prey availability and structure. Our agency works with U.S. government agencies, tribes, and NGOs to protect Washington's wildlife from oil spills. Response planning and participation in oil spill drills are ongoing. A rescue tug is stationed in Nia Bay to respond quickly to disabled vessels near the entrance to the Strait of Juan de Fuca, which is a prime risk area. DFW has published an oil spill response handbook for sea otters. Regulations governing improvements in ship design were added by the U.S. in 2015. The Cooperative Vessel Traffic System for the Strait of Juan de Fuca region tracks vessels entering the Salish Sea via the Strait of Juan de Fuca and monitors vessel movements until they reach their port of destination, lowering the risk of collision. The West Coast Marine Mammal Stranding Network and U.S. Fish and Wildlife and DFW cooperate on sea otter strandings. Washington sea otter numbers have increased steadily over the last 30 years, surpassing the 2004 recovery plan's required 3-year population threshold for downlisting to state threatened. range expansion has not reached historic limits, but natural and human factors may be at play. Evidence exists for genetic exchange with the British Columbia sea otter population, which could lead to the Washington population's increased overall genetic fitness. For these reasons, we recommend that the sea otter be downlisted to threatened. Three public comments were received. Two supported continued protection for sea otters, and a third supported keeping endangered status. I'm happy to take any questions. Yes, they're cute. Yes, but they have nasty temperaments.
Yes,
they're weasels.
See, behind that smile, a little nasty little critter.
Oh, yes, yes.
Now we've got you for that one.
Well, first off, congratulations. This might be, for me, the first time that a down list has been requested. And because of that, my question is, what difference will this make in terms of the protections that are afforded these creatures?
It won't make any difference. They'll still be fully protected.
So there, if I could just respond really quickly, there is a slight difference in the regulations on take between an endangered state endangered species and a threatened species, but they'll still have all the marine mammal protection coverage, and really the listings are that, or the change in listings are that alarm call or success call that, hey, this population is doing well, and we can be thinking about, you know, looking towards our eventual recovery and removal from the list.
Any other questions? Did you have one? That was it.
That's it.
Yes. And we do have one public. Dennis?
Thank you very much.
Chair Smith, members of the commission, Director Storr, Deputy Director Windrup. I'm Dennis DeSilvis. I am the Vice Chair of the WDFW's Wildlife Diversity Advisory Council. And you should have my letter, our letter, I should say, recommending. We agree with the recommendation to reclassify the sea otter to threaten, in other words, to downlist from endangered. While Chris mentioned oil spill mitigation and stuff, the only thing I really want to bring out today is something that may be on the horizon, and that is not noted in the PSR was the possibility of drilling for oil. Drilling for oil in offshore Washington waters. If this activity occurs, it's incumbent that associated plans also be in place to help mitigate risks and lessen the response time to what may be a larger blowout type disaster, and which would really affect not just sea otters, but you know the whole marine environment. So just to keep that in mind, I just wanted to make sure that we bring that up. And so while sea otters remain at risk, the species appears to be recovering in Washington, and we agree with the recommendation of the PSR to downlist it to threatened. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dennis. Any other questions? Okay. Hearing none, this is a decision. No, public hearing. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. So now we